Blog Talk Radio.
Hi everyone, and welcome to Franchise Interviews, where for over 4 years we've been asking the franchisepreneurs one-on-one. I'm your host Marty McDermott with my co-host Don Johnson, and if you've ever dreamed of owning your own business, then you've come to the right place. We have a great show today. We're meeting with franchise expert, franchise attorney, and franchise author Harold Kestenbaum. And Harold Kestenbaum, a New York-based franchise attorney and author of So You Want to Franchise Your Business, shares his advice to potential businesses thinking about taking the dive into franchising. And that's coming up on segment 2 of Franchise Interviews. So stick around because we got a great show.
Are you one of those special people who are willing to go after your dreams and goals? Are you ready to fulfill that dream of owning your own business with the security of a proven brand, the opportunity to take control of your future and own a Rita's Italian Ice franchise is within your reach?
Rita's is seeking success-oriented individuals who are ready to make a change in their life, and Rita's offers unparalleled training and support to assure your success. And did you know the frozen treat industry is a recession-proof industry, and there are Rita's in 23 states currently with 540 stores open. Rita's Italian Ice has been around for 25 years and is listed as a top-performing franchise by the Wall Street Journal.
Now here's the really good part. Rita's Italian Ice is a unique and amazing taste treat. It's smoother than a snow cone, and it combines ice with real fresh fruit. The real fruit adds dramatically to the taste, and it comes in over 40 flavors. The ice and fruit are mixed on site and made fresh daily, and it is delicious.
You'll want to know more about this exciting and successful franchise opportunity. Go to www.ownaritas.com and get all your questions answered. That's www.ownaritas.com to take control of your dreams and future today. You don't want to wait any longer to be a part of this adventure. www.ownaritas.com.
Franchisers, are you looking to reach aspiring entrepreneurs looking to buy a franchise? Are you looking to reach a highly educated audience on franchising? For over 4 years, Franchise Interviews has been giving an up-close, behind-the-scenes look at franchising and entrepreneurship through our website, franchiseinterviews.com, where you can hear and read interviews as well as get inside tips from some of the most successful sources in franchising. Check out our weekly franchise radio show, where each week you get to hear a new interview with franchisers, franchisees, franchise authors, franchise experts, and attorneys, and our podcast, Great Quotes in Franchising. Get 3 months of free advertising when you sign up for our one-year package. For more information, go to franchiseinterviews.com or call us at 610-905-2919. That's 610-905-2919.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to Franchise Interviews, where for over 4 years we've been asking the franchisepreneurs one-on-one. I'm your host, Marty McDermott, with my co-host, Don Johnson. And if you've ever dreamed of owning your own business, then you've come to the right place.
Doing fine, Marty. How are you?
Doing well. Good. Everything's going well, Don. Keeping busy, as always. Our last show, Don, we met with Painting with a Twist, Franchise Opportunity. And Painting with a Twist is a new concept, artistic painting as entertainment. And states, as although the basic idea has been around for years, only recently has it become formatted
to be the basis for a successful business formula. And we met with Kathy Deano and Renee Maloney, co-founders of Painting with a Twist. I love this story. I mean, to me, it was also, you know, a story of entrepreneurship. You know, two people coming together, you know, worked well, seemed like there was a synergy there. And what I liked about it was it seems like it's a low-cost type of franchise opportunity. Do you have any thoughts on that particular show?
I always get excited Not just the like what you mentioned, the story of you know, people being entrepreneurial and starting up a business, having success, but any time it's a, you know, a little different type of service, and and the way that it could be franchised. So that was interesting, and they really were enthusiastic and passionate, and they seemed like they get along well, and it's, you know, it's interesting how things are going with them so far. Seems like they're a lot of their franchisees are very happy and making money and doing well.
Yeah, the growth was interesting as well. I mean, they've had exponential growth. And it was interesting, Don, because they, I think they mentioned they started in the recession, didn't they? So sometimes they say that's the best time to start a business is during a recession, you know. So, yeah, they're doing very well. I know they just hit Pennsylvania up here. So, you know, I don't know what part of Pennsylvania, but I'd love to check them out. I was telling Connie about them, and she says she could see herself kind of like owning that type of franchise one day, you know. So it's very interesting. So we'll have
to another feel-good, yeah, I mean, a feel-good type franchise, too.
It was, and those are fun, you know. I mean, those are the fun things to talk about. I was looking online. I was looking at some of their press releases last week, and this was one that I forgot to mention to them. It was an article. This is 10 Orlando team-building activities for corporate groups. This is looking to get a corporate group out of the office and interacting. Here are 10 new group activities that can work for team building, meeting breaks, incentives, and other kinds of corporate outings. I won't read the other nine, but Painting with a Twist was listed on there. It says, get your team thinking creatively with an outing to Painting with a Twist, which opened in May. Groups with at least 10 people pay $35 per person for a two-hour class or $45 for a three-hour class. And it says Painting with a Twist provides the paint, the canvas, and brushes, and artists who give attendees like step-by-step instructions on how to complete their artwork. I think we should get – let's get the franchise interviews team in there, huh? And we'll have one of those team-building activities. And the guy's a diamond, you know, so absolutely. So it's just, again, a different one for our library, wasn't it? You know, we've had some interesting shows, you know, over the last several months, different concepts and things like that. So I think it always adds to the show. I know you had some interesting articles that we've been meaning to discuss as well.
Yeah, interesting article in Franchise Times Magazine, our friends. Written by Jonathan Mays Marty. It's titled Lone Arrangers. Franchisors who want to grow need to start telling stories. It starts out, Michael D'Angelo wanted to be the Brooklyn Water Bagel Company's first franchisee the moment he tried a bagel there 2 years ago. I'm a little familiar with that franchise. I've helped with some financing. So the ex-firefighter, a New York transplant in Florida, talked with the company's founder, signed all the papers, and began raising money. He raised $500,000 from family and friends and then sought financing for the remaining $200 needed to open his first restaurant. And he still couldn't get a loan. That was discouraging, he says. But I wasn't shocked by it. I knew what was going on out there. He knew unproven systems like Brooklyn Water Bagel have the toughest time finding loans, even when the borrowers like D'Angelo have good credit and plenty of cash. He found more friends and family members to bridge the gap. And opened, I guess, just recently. He then talked to the franchise into doing something radical, starting a finance company backed by seed money to loan money directly to franchisees. The first borrower under the new program will be none other than Mr. D'Angelo, who is in the process of opening his second bagel shop. Franchisors who want to grow in the current environment, especially new concepts or systems fighting a perception of weakness, have to consider such steps to accomplish their goal. Direct lending itself isn't entirely necessary, although some wonder why it's not done more. The easy answer is the one none of them like, that the franchisor has to guarantee a percentage of the loan pool, said Lex Lane, a vice president and business development officer for United Capital Business Lending. If the system is not blowing bankers away, guaranteeing a percentage is the best option, he says, but most franchisors won't. So this is interesting. I mean, you know, we mentioned it last pretty much every show.
Right.
And the head of the IFA, and I mean, this is of course the number one problem in many industries, but especially
mm-hmm.
franchising, is
right.
Is financing the business I'm in. It's why the industry increase is minimal. Even established franchisees who've been in franchising many years have multiple units have a hard time getting expansion money. But it's especially harder for the guy who's starting up a new business and for a relatively new franchise like this Brooklyn Water
mm-hmm.
Bagel Company.
Right, right.
There's just a lot less lenders, and many don't want to just take on the risk. Even sometimes when there's higher full collateral. Banks are overregulated right now. But it's interesting because it is kind of surprising that more franchisors, Marty, haven't set up their own financing. I guess it's, what does that tell you? If they don't set up their own financing, it's because they lack confidence in their brand, or is it just a whole other animal that they just don't want to get involved in? Or is it maybe a conflict of interest? Who knows? Maybe...
Wow.
Today's show, Carol Kestenbaum, who we're having on today's show, a very well-known franchise attorney, maybe he can shed some light on this. But in general, it's kind of interesting. More articles I read, Marty, franchisors have to get involved to maximize their franchisees getting funding.
Yeah, we should ask Carol that question. It does kind of set up some alarm bells, doesn't it, when you say, okay, the franchisor doesn't want to, help out with the financing issue. You say, why? I mean, if they're so confident in their system. Again, I don't know if there's any legal reasons that they don't do that, but and I guess there must be some out there, Don, right, that are doing it. It's probably a very small percentage. If you take there's 3,000 different systems out there.
Right.
What percentage are actually getting involved in the whole financing process?
I think your lower investment size franchises, your service type franchises, I've seen that they offer some financing.
Okay.
Some have some equipment involved. They might offer some type of leasing program or have that set up through their company. I have seen that. But as far as, the 150 to 400, a pretty high percentage of investment size
right.
from any franchise brands. It's rare for a franchise to offer financing. I think more are getting involved. Part of this article goes on. It says franchises who want to grow need to start telling stories. I guess they have to start trying to align themselves with a lending source and give them all the details of their background, their history, their corporate financials. Because the whole industry has changed, Marty. A few years ago, many franchisors were an approved franchise brand through lenders,
right.
Through regional
right.
national lenders. So that franchisee would then go to that lender who's very familiar with that brand, and they pretty much have a cookie-cutter type program set up for that franchise. But that's all out the window right now. It's a very small percentage lenders have that set up with franchise brands. And if they do have it set up, it's mostly for not really startup franchisees. It's for the existing franchisee who's expanding, who's already established and in business many years. A lender, of course, feels that that's less risk.
Yeah. It's such an important topic, Don. It's funny because, I go back and I listen to all the shows, and it's just amazing to me that sometimes when I'll go back to a show that you and I did 2 or 3 years ago, how it sometimes sounds like the same conversation, and just amazes me that we're still talking about this issue. And it's such an important topic. We've seen some interesting things happen, through, you reading, a lot of the current events in franchising on segment one, that a lot of franchisors are thinking outside the box. In some cases, they're going to a kiosk format, or sometimes they're giving a two-for-one deal, or sometimes
right.
the rents are more attractive. So there have been some interesting opportunities. But, yeah, you're right. It does make me think. If franchising is, as they always call, a relationship and a partnership, why aren't more getting involved in the financing process? Is it for legal reasons, or is it that they don't believe in the system?
Right.
There must be some reasons for that. And I don't know what the answers to those questions are, so... Maybe Harold can talk about that on segment two today.
goes on, as competition for credit increases, franchises are no longer averse to guaranteeing franchisees loans. Some are even providing additional information about their system, an uncommon practice when credit was readily available. They certainly have been very, very cooperative in offering lenders like us even more detail about the health of the system and of specific operators, says Trey Brown, a senior management director and commercial leader for GE. That's GE Capital, their franchise finance division. In almost every case, they've shown their willingness about being transparent about their business and initiatives. They're also profiled their operator landscape, which positions those operators to be well-received by lenders. Evidence suggests these new practices are resulting in financing. For each of the past 2 years, Meineke has opened more shops than it ever has, despite the credit crunch. Parent company Driven Brands has been notably aggressive on the financing front and has hired franchise statistical experts, FranData, to run its bank credit report.
Mm-hmm.
The short summary of a system's worthiness is designed to give lenders information about a system beyond cursory information found in franchise disclosure documents. FranData calls it an objectively prepared credit department-style valuation of a brand's risk factors, franchisor financial and operational risks, and franchise system and franchise units performance risks. The days of having very simple loan process of pre-2008 are gone, says Dave Schaefer, Driven Brand Senior VP of Franchise Development. So, see, franchise systems, you know, have to give more information, more detailed background financial than it ever has before, just to make a lender, Marty, feel comfortable. It sort of sounds like they have to see the franchisor, you know, their business plan, their history, how they're done, how they're doing now, what's their forecast. I mean, with lenders being so conservative, they really have to know the full story. It's making franchisors work harder, but that's the you know, that's the age we're in now.
Yeah. Well, I guess, you know, I mean, in the past, you know, and again, you know, I've learned a lot of this from you is, you know, what's always made franchising attractive to, I guess, the lenders has been the track record, right, Don? I mean, there's always been that track record, which has always made it easier to get a loan. But it sounds like what the article is saying is almost to tell a story, you know, is go a little deeper, you know, whether it's on the franchisor's part or whether it's on the franchisee's part. You know, you wonder sometimes, as a prospective franchisee, do they not work as hard in getting the loan? I mean, there's lots of reasons why they don't get the loan or the loan is declined. I know a lot of times you've mentioned, like, just simply because of, like, poor packaging, you know, the way they have it set up. So, you know, does the prospective franchisee just think that, well, okay, it's Subway, so I'm guaranteed to get a loan, you know? So,
right.
You wonder sometimes. But it sounds like what they have to do now is, from everything that I've learned, you know, from what you've said in segment one, is it's just more work. It just, you have to do a little more convincing, I think.
Right.
And if you really want it, you have to work for it. So,
going on a little bit, says perhaps just as important, Driven Brands has hired managers to oversee the lending process for new franchisees and plans to add an executive to the division. The company works to identify regional lenders who may be willing to finance shops and aggressively educate bankers on the brand. We've taken an approach to bringing banks in, almost doing a discovery day, Schaefer says. We're educating them on the brand. Schaefer said franchises shouldn't simply rely on the FDD to provide banks information about themselves. Most bankers are bankers. The FDD is not a selling document to them. It's just a piece of paper. Getting involved in a terrific way of is a terrific way of opening that relationship.
It affects everything, doesn't it? I mean, you know, the whole lending thing, I mean, is really the end-all, be-all. I mean, if you think about a franchisor, you know, and it could be any franchisor, I mean, if they're not selling franchises, I mean, it affects the franchise development department, doesn't it? I mean, because, again, there's no growth there. And it just seems to affect the franchise in many different ways. So sometimes you wonder why they're not a little more, I don't know, thinking outside the box as far as how to fix this situation. I mean, is everybody just waiting for, I don't know, someone new to step into office or the laws to change or who knows? You wonder sometimes what they're waiting for.
Right. It ends the article, Marty, franchisor adds insurance. Another franchise system, Marco's Pizza, who we've had on the show in the past, has just about every lending assistance program imaginable. It loans directly to operators, guarantees some loans, and its franchisees can now get a form of insurance to guarantee most of a loan. We believe in leaving no stone unturned in trying to make it easy for franchisees to grow, says Ken Switzer, VP and CFO of the Ohio-based pizza chain. We have confidence in our franchisees to be successful. It's helped, too. The company, they're expecting to open another 60-plus this year.
60, yeah. That's a great franchise, too. I mean, we've had Marco's Pizza on the show twice.
Right.
Up to this point, and I remember having them on and was just so impressed with their franchise system. Why aren't more franchisors, you know, using all those tools that Marco's Pizza, and you could tell, Don, that those guys over there at Marco's, I mean, they definitely believe in the system, you know. I mean, they'll convince you that they're the best pizza franchise in the world.
Right.
You know, so absolutely. It was a funny show, too. A little footnote on that one. Remember I kept calling the guy Marcos? it's one of those shows I hate listening to or going back to. But I think the guy Byron, I kept calling him Marcos on the show, and I felt terrible about that. But a little blunder for franchise interviews.
Yeah, we're all human here, yeah.
Yeah.
If you're a potential franchisee, you're evaluating various opportunities out there, and you see this brand doing whatever it can to provide financing support and loan guarantees, and instills more confidence to buy from that franchise as opposed to another franchise, Switzer says. It's a conscious effort on our part because, you know, they're in the recruiting business. They want to find new franchisees. They want to grow. And if they have a leg up on just being on top of the whole, financing part of it, they have options. They're getting more people financed. They have these, you know, creative things they're doing, like the insurance component. Yeah, franchisee might go with Marco's because they're thinking, hey, I have a better chance of getting financing, and these guys seem like they're on the ball, and they're really helping me, and so forth.
Yeah.
So that's another component, just not, you know, it's harder. The economy's still tough. It's not like people are, maybe in Marco's they have a waiting list. Who knows? But it's not like people are knocking down doors. It's, you know, you got to go out and find franchisees. And if you make the process easier, I guess you have a better chance of adding more to your system.
Well, you have to remember, too, I mean, a lot of times, you know, if someone's looking for a pizza franchise system, again, there's so many of them out there, isn't there? You know, we've had a bunch of them on our show up to this point. But if one, you know, if you narrow it down to like two or three franchise systems, let's say, and one is saying, okay, well, we'll help you with the financing aspect, to me, what it shows is they have confidence in their system. I mean, right? I mean, that's how I interpret it anyway, saying, well, these guys believe so much in their system that they're willing to, you know, help out on the financing. that helps a lot. I mean, another way around it, too, Don, is if they don't want to get involved directly in the financing, couldn't they just drop the franchise fee? I mean, we've seen that, too, right?
Right.
You know, where instead of like, you know, you paying the initial $30,000 up front for a Marco's Pizza, could they just drop that? Would that help in getting financing? Again, you know that area better than I do, but I think it would, right? I mean, the initial $30,000 up front for a system.
Oh, yeah.
If you drop that,
yeah.
You know,
right.
I mean, again, it makes it a lot more attractive. So we've seen that being done. I think that's another option for the franchisor. So, yeah, it's interesting.
Yeah, definitely. I think this is the leading problem in our economy in general, especially franchising. So I guess we're going to have to continue talking about it. And any new information, of course, we'll always pass it on the show.
Right, absolutely. All right, good. Well, Harold hasn't called in yet. What we could do is we could take a quick break here, and by the time we come back, I have a feeling that Harold's going to call in. So, but I think those, as always, Don, those were great articles. So let's take a quick break. We'll be right back.
Okay, you've got my attention.
It's a rare event in the world of franchising when an opportunity comes your way that can and will thrive in almost any economic environment. It's here, and its name is Big Mouth Advertising.
Big Mouth.
BMA is a leader in the exciting world of mobile media advertising. Why is mobile media advertising able to defy the economic cycles? The answer is obvious. In times of economic weakness, advertising is crucial for survival as the consumer dollar is scarce and the competition fierce. What is mobile media? It's the newest and fastest growing segment in the advertising world. Mobile media brings the message directly to the consumer. Mobile media goes to the consumer in traffic, where he eats and where he plays. It quite simply cannot be turned off or thrown out. And when you join the Big Mouth team as a franchisee, you are joining the best. The Big Mouth advantage is simple and successful. We invest in a strong infrastructure and in great people. As a franchisee, you have access to this entire system, including telemarketing, sales maximization, general and administrative support, design and creative services, even billing and collection services. All you need is a mobile media vehicle, a driver, and the willingness to create a financially sound and limitless business for yourself. There are no long-term leases to sign, no expensive build-outs, no office personnel to hire. You will be part of the Big Mouth Advertising community and share its entire website and reception services, as well as its complete back-office services. This virtual office guarantees you the freedom to close those sales that will make you a success. We are so proud of our successes that we have voluntarily disclosed our revenue statements. Now, how many other franchises are doing that? Even in these historically rough financial times, Big Mouth Advertising has become a dominant force in the mobile media industry. Join the Big Mouth team and take the first step toward financial freedom. Please call Ron at 888-98-GO-BIG. That's 888-98-GO-BIG.
Big Mouth!
Franchise Interviews. For over 4 years, Franchise Interviews has been giving an up-close, behind-the-scenes look at franchising and entrepreneurship through our website, franchiseinterviews.com, where you can hear and read interviews as well as get inside tips from some of the most successful sources in franchising. Check out our weekly franchise radio show, where each week you get to hear a new interview with franchisers, franchisees, franchise authors, franchise experts, and attorneys. And don't forget to listen to our podcast, Great Quotes in Franchising. For more information, go to franchiseinterviews.com or call us at 610-905-2919. That's 610-905-2919.
Need a business loan? Talk to Diamond Financial Services, the experts in franchise financing nationwide. Whether you're looking to start a franchise, acquire an existing franchise, or expand your territory through opening new locations, Diamond Financial stands by your side start to finish. From pre-qualification to packaging and presenting your application to securing a financial commitment and through the loan closing process, Diamond Financial is there. While you're waiting, thousands of others are making their financial dreams come true. Don't wait any longer. Pre-qualify now by completing a confidential, no-obligation financial analysis. Let's face it, traditional banks just aren't in the business of financing small business. At Diamond Financial, we specialize in securing franchise loans from $100,000 to $3 million and equipment leasing up to $150,000. Let us help you get started. Go to www.franchisefunding.net or call 877-508-2274. That's franchisefunding.net, 877-508-2274.
And if you've ever been to one of your own business, then you've come to the right place. And as we were saying earlier,
Oh, okay. Hello. How are you doing today? Does that sound a little better?
That's perfect.
That music was a bit loud, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. It was.
I think you know Don Johnson, Harold, don't you? I know Don, you wanted to say hello.
Yeah, hey, Harold. Good to have you on. How's your fall time going?
Good. Things are good.
Excellent.
That's good. That's good. We always like to ask our guests, Harold, where are you calling from today?
Well, actually, I'm on the road. I'm on the way to Rehoboth Beach, Delaware, to visit with a franchise concept.
Okay, good. That's good. I know originally you're from New York, aren't you?
Yeah, my office is in Long Island, yes.
Okay, good. That's fantastic. I know you have an interesting story, Harold. How did you get involved in franchising?
By accident. When I got out of law,
like everything,
yeah,
right?
When I got out of law school in 1975, I got a job with a small firm in Manhattan, and he had a franchise client, and he said to me, look, you're out of law school a couple of years. Why don't you learn franchising? I said, okay, you never took it in law school because it didn't exist. So for 4 years, all I did was learn franchising. And
right.
In 1981, I said, you know what? I know more than he does. Why am I making him rich? So I went out on my own, and I've been doing it ever since.
Wow. I mean, you've been involved in franchising for a long time, Harold. I mean, what changes have you noticed over the last, I guess you could say, maybe 30 years?
Well, I'll tell you what. 30, 35 years ago, you had the big companies, you had the big franchisors, you didn't see a lot of small companies. Now, there are so many more smaller franchise companies doing what they're doing than there was 30 years ago. Small brands, regional franchises. Franchising has become a dynamic growth vehicle. I mean, everybody wants to do it. It's been dramatic over the last 35 years.
So you think that's better, Harold, that there's, a few years ago it was pretty impressive how many new franchisors were starting up, and now I'm not sure how high that number is. What's in the 3,000 to 3,500? You think it's good for franchising that so many new companies franchise their concept on a yearly basis?
The answer is yes and no. It's great because it gives other people who want to buy franchises a broader range of what to buy, and it gives more opportunity out there than if there were less. On the other hand, there's a lot of duplication. I represent the leading gourmet burger franchise, and there must be 10 knockoffs right now. So at the end of the day, I happen to think it's better than worse.
Right. Yeah, that is interesting. A lot of burger franchises, Harold, and I've seen Harold at the franchise shows.
Harold too, yeah.
It's incredible to... Once something gets hot, it really explodes, like the yogurt franchise. It'd be interesting to see what happens with that segment, too.
Mm-hmm.
That's the next one that's going to have a problem in 5 years, the self-serve yogurt deal. My prediction is in 5 years, they're going to start beating each other up, and you're going to see a lot less of them.
Right.
Wow.
But overall, Harold, one of the worst economies in our history, franchising has held up relatively well. There's many concepts that are thriving. Maybe talk about that, how franchising has been doing, you feel, in this economy right now, say, over the last couple of years.
Well, it's funny, but franchising gets better as the economy gets worse.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason for that is when there are so many people out of work and there are no jobs, they have to turn to owning a business. And the best way to own your own business is to buy a franchise. So with the past recession, the credit market didn't help, whereas the recession...
I think we might have lost him, Don.
Yeah, I'm not surprised by his answer on that. That's what we've been talking for years. It's why I got lucky in, what was that? That quote, forced entrepreneurship?
Essentially what it is. That's exactly right.
Yeah, I mean, people have to, what do they do? I mean, people have been downsized, I just heard the other day a friend got downsized, been in the industry for years. You would think a company, someone has all that experience, you wouldn't want to lose them, but there's just not that loyalty anymore. But what's someone going to do? Are they going to buy an existing business? Sometimes that can be pretty expensive, that business successful. They can get into franchising. And, like, who was our friend, Marty, who said when franchising, you start out on third base and, you know, people need to maximize their chances of success and to get to be profitable, if they, and that's what franchising offers.
That's right.
George Native. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. I mean, you've worked with some amazing – I was going to say how you work with some amazing franchises. I mean, I know as far as in your portfolio, I think Sbarro's was one. Five Guys, I think, was
Five
another.
Guys,
I mean, it's
that's what I was talking about before. That's the gourmet burger, the leader in the business, and everybody's come following them.
It's incredible what's happened, you know, to that whole category, you could say. And Don and I have been following Five Guys for a long time, you know, and it's just amazing that you see all these new burger places popping up, franchises, you know.
They're,
say, who the heck are they? That's interesting.
That's right.
Now, I just might have touched on it, Hal. Is there anything else? People are attracted to franchising because it's a – you know, it's a well-known name, but even if it's something's not well-known, they're going with the newer concept. They like the training, the ongoing support. Hopefully it's a reasonable investment size. They're not in it by themselves. They just have to follow the system. All the marketing has been worked out. Any, you know, other things why franchising is so attractive, you know, during this time as an option for someone?
Sure. Well, you know, Ray Kroc said that you're in business by yourself, but for yourself and not by yourself. And you're right. You're 100% right. It gives people the leg up. It gives them the ability to get into a business and get trained, find out where the suppliers are and who the suppliers are, for example, who's going to build it for you. You know, you do it on your own. You got to go looking for all this. I mean, I'm sure the Internet's helped a lot, but it's still, you know, it's like walking in the dark when
you do it
on your own.
Yeah, that's true. So, Hal, once a company decides to franchise, then what steps does it need to follow from that point?
Well, first of all, assuming that the concept is one that can be replicated and makes money, then they've got to look at franchising is very regulated now. It has been for years, and more so now. So they have to find the franchise lawyer, and I recommend that they find the franchise lawyer, not just any lawyer, because there's documents that have to be prepared. You know, the franchise disclosure document, the FDD, you can't franchise without that in the United States. I mean, that's a requirement. You know, if they don't have an operations manual, they got to go find the consultant that will do that. They got to put their marketing materials together. There's a number of things to do, but that's really where the starting point is.
Interesting. So why did you write the book then, Harold? So you want to franchise your business. Is this your first book, by the way?
Yeah, it was my first book. The reason I wrote it.
Congratulations.
Thank you. There were a lot of books on franchising, mainly for franchisees. And the books that were for franchisors were written for lawyers and not for business people. So I wanted to write a book that an entrepreneur and a business person could read and understand and get a grasp of what it is they're doing rather than read a book that will put them to sleep in 3 minutes because it's all legalese. So my book is a very easy book to read. People read it in 2 or 3 hours, and they learn what franchising is all about.
So not only it helps a person who's looking to franchise their concept, does it also go into helping a franchisee, what to look for, to ask, how to go about the due diligence process of buying a franchise?
No, not at all. this book does not touch on – we mentioned the word franchisee a couple of times in the book.
Yeah.
Not – you know, if you want to do that, you buy the Franchising for Dummies book.
Right.
My book is strictly geared for franchisors, and it tells you how you franchise your business and what you need to do.
Which is a pretty lengthy, expensive process, so I can see you coming out with that book. I've spoken to a lot of people who've shown a lot of frustration in going through the process. They really don't know what they're getting into and what you have to do to get to the point where you're ready to sell your concept and bring in some investors. So,
the book really tells you all of that in a very succinct and easy way, easy and readable way. And it's not as expensive as people think. People say, oh, you got to have hundreds of thousands of dollars to franchise.
Right.
That's not true. Assuming you have already a concept that you don't have to go build one, you can do it for less than $100,000. It's not that expensive. And when you think about the risk reward and the benefits you get if you have a successful franchise chain, I mean, Five Guys started with 4 locations. They have 800 now.
Yeah.
I mean, and that was 10 years ago. So the upside is truly significant for that small of an investment.
You know, myself being in franchising, just about 13 years, nowhere near how long you've been in, but you know, I get the question a lot, which sometimes I can't stand, but I can understand it. People say, oh, you're in franchising. What's the best franchise? How do you answer that, Harold?
You know what? There is no answer. It depends on what the person wants. You know, if somebody wants to work 7 days a week and likes the restaurant business, then there's a number of very good restaurant franchises. Not everybody
right.
wants to do that. Some people want to work 5 days a week, and there are many good service businesses that are available. And it depends on how much money you have to invest, because a service business where you can operate out of your house is going to be a hell of a lot cheaper than, you know, opening up a Five Guys or any other, you know, retail operation.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't even give somebody an answer, because it's not an answerable question.
It's too open-ended.
Right.
I do talk about, you know, whatever system you go with, try to have some protection on territory that you can grow. Sometimes in franchise that might be successful in another part of the country or even in another country other than the U.S., but they've had success, now they're coming to the U.S., or it's successful in another part of the country, now it's coming
mm-hmm.
to this part, and you can get protected, own a few counties. I always add that to the answer on whatever type of franchise you're doing. You got to make sure you're planning long-term, too.
Well, let me say this. The younger the franchise system, the better chance you have of getting a larger territory and better perks
mm-hmm.
than if you try to buy a Subway where they don't change a word, or a Dunkin'
right.
Donuts where they won't change anything. So,
yeah,
you know,
right.
it's got its pluses and minuses on that side. You know, you are running a risk if they don't have an, if it's not an established franchise, you know, but
mm-hmm.
you get on the ground floor. I remember many years ago there was a small little franchise company called Weight Watchers, and they sold a few early franchises and gave out huge territories, and people made a lot of money, and then when they sold those territories, they made even more money. But they wanted to get franchisees out there, so they gave away good
right.
territories. Companies do that.
In the first segment, Harold, we brought up an article in Franchise Times about how franchisors have to get more involved in, you know, to give more information to lenders and bankers to help their franchisees get funding.
Mm-hmm.
And it talked a little bit about how some franchise systems, but it's rare, to offer their own financing. How come you don't think more franchise systems have their own financing program and get more involved with helping franchisees in that area, Harold?
I guess the easy answer is they don't have enough capital themselves to do that. You know,
mm-hmm.
the larger franchisors that have that kind of funding and capital behind them do that, and there are a few that do that. But believe me, the newer franchisors don't have the money to do that. They don't have the capability. They'd like
right.
to, but they can't.
Right.
Mm. So, Harold, what do you look for? I mean, when you take on a client, because, again, you've worked with some amazing franchises. I mean, what was it that you saw in, like, a franchise, whether it was like a Sbarro's or a Five Guys Burgers, that made you take on that client?
You know, one is really very important, unit economics. I mean, if they're making a lot of money from your locations
mm-hmm.
and it's something that is easily replicable and you can duplicate it, then maybe you really have something. But if, for example, they're not doing well and they're just scratching, you know, getting by and they think they're going to franchise, I say to them, you're going to sell somebody a business that's failing? How could you do that? In good
yeah.
conscience, how could you do that?
Mm-hmm.
So they scratch their head and they say, yeah, maybe you're right. I said, yeah, I know I'm right. You know, and then you get a lot of people want to do the Me Toos and, you know, you got to do, there's something about what you're doing that's got to be a little different, even if it's just the fact that the menu is different, prices are different. You know, look, not every concept can be franchised. I mean, and I
mm-hmm.
tell people that. And some people I just say, you're not ready yet. And you know
right.
what? People aren't ready yet. If they're not ready, they're not ready.
It's true.
Are you surprised with just QSR food in general? It just When will it end, the amount of food franchises and concepts and restaurants? I mean, you know, something has to give. I mean, I know some are struggling, have had problems, poor management and so forth, but, you know, many at the same time are doing well. I mean, is there any explanation for that?
People like to eat. People like the allure of people like the allure of a restaurant. I'm
right.
not sure that'll ever – I'm not sure it's going to end. I mean, I'm getting, you know – There's a new category Indian food. I have people who are franchising Indian restaurants,
yeah.
Mediterranean.
Wow.
I mean, the category, it's now getting into the ethnic side. So it's no longer hamburgers. It's now the ethnic market. And you know what? You don't have to have 8,000 franchisees like Subway. You could have a couple of hundred and be very successful.
Yeah, that's true.
Is there a particular segment or franchise that when it first start hearing about them that you thought no way they were going to stay the course and be successful, but they have been, whether it's massage or pet franchises or a certain type of service, anything that surprised you at all?
I didn't think Five Guys would be as successful as it is.
Yeah.
I mean, it was another hamburger
that's a
good
place.
They have a very limited menu. They did no advertising, and I was, frankly, I was very surprised. Pleasantly surprised, but surprised.
Right.
Yeah, Five Guys is a great example, yeah.
Are companies, franchise systems marketing their franchise opportunities any differently now? Has anything changed in the way the economy is now?
Yes. Well, you know, over the last couple of years, let's face it, the Internet changed the whole face of franchise marketing. You know,
right.
In the old days, it was print and trade shows, and now hardly anybody uses print, and the trade shows are scraping for exhibitors, and it's the Internet that's really, you know, gone bananas. I mean, everybody's doing the Internet.
Do you think trade shows can make a little bit of a comeback, Harold? Like next year, the IFE, which has been in D.C. for years, the International Franchise Expo, is going to be up in New York.
I sure hope so. I mean, I think they're going to try to do it that way. We'll see.
That greatly helps you and I. I mean, you know, the trade shows, it's, you know, that's what we need. But we've done a few less Diamond Financial last couple of years. It's just been a little embarrassing, the light turnout, which is hard to understand.
Cause
like we talked about before, with people out of work and downsized, and here's people can go see over 100 opportunities at once. It's really kind of a head-scratcher why those shows have not been more populated, and even why more. Go ahead.
You're right. I mean, the last 2 years, and maybe it's the economy, the trade shows have been really sagging in terms of attendance. I agree with you. Maybe the New York one will be significantly better than D.C. has been. Of the three big shows, and I'm doing one in L.A. next month, Miami has been the most successful over the last couple of years. I don't know why, but I guess a lot has to do with the Latin American community coming up from South America. They have money.
True.
Miami's been pretty successful, but you're right.
That's a good point you just brought up, minorities and different ethnics in franchising. You have more women-owned franchises. That's probably a big change, too, you've seen in the last 20, 30 years, right, Harold?
Huge.
Yeah.
Huge change. Absolutely. No question about it.
Really, anybody can own a franchise. It's the beauty of it. And Marty and I, we're approaching our 250th show. We're in our fourth year, and we've interviewed, people in their 20s. People that recently out of the military, we've had older seniors who've had to, you know, get back into trying to earn some money. We've had people of all ages and on all levels can really be successful in franchising. But you really have to have the right attitude about it. You can't be too entrepreneurial. And, you know, Marty, we can talk about certain shows, the guys from Fish Window Cleaning, just, you know, even some of our recent shows. These people just accepted what they were going to do and the business model and franchise they were investing in, and they were just going to just take full advantage of that franchise system and be trained and just do their thing. And they've been successful.
Yeah, absolutely.
There's no question about it.
So how maybe talk a little bit more about your book. It really helps the franchise person to, what are some of the most difficult parts of the component to have their system become a franchise? What's been the most difficult part that you explain in detail to make it simple for people?
Well, you know, the legal part of it is not as difficult as people think. It's the operations manual, because you need a very good and comprehensive one, and you need to have a professional do it. And you know, if you don't have a good, thorough operations manual, it's a problem. So a lot of my potential clients, you know, hesitate about doing that, but I tell them you have to do it. It's critical. And I think that – and my book talks about that in detail.
Wow, I mean, it's really almost a must-read. for someone looking to start up a franchise system. Very valuable information.
I'd like to think
because
so.
I always thought it was expensive too, Hal. I mean, my perception, you know, and I've probably the same amount of time I've been involved in it, 13 years, I always had the perception too, and I don't know if you thought this, Don, that it was very expensive, you know, like, I mean, it's talking like over $100,000 to start franchising your concept. I think that's probably a common perception. It may be why some people don't come forward and say we're not ready yet because we don't have the funding to do that. But so that's an learning experience for me. I'm definitely going to, you know, grab the book and read into that because we do get that question a lot. So, Hal, for our listeners, you know, many of our listeners to the show, they're looking to buy a franchise. What advice would you give them from all your years of experience of doing this in their quest of buying a franchise? What would you say to them?
Well,
advice could you give them?
Be ready to work hard.
Okay.
And when you find the one that you want, make sure you have a lawyer who's represented franchisees before, and make sure you have an accountant to understand financial statements, and just be prepared to work hard because franchisees work hard. And if they think they're not going to work hard, then they shouldn't be a franchisee.
It's always great.
Yeah, we get that a lot, don't we, Don? You know, it's just, we try to emphasize, you know, the last 5 years about, particularly the first year, how much work it's going to be, you know. And it's not a guarantee of success, even when you open up a Subway, you know. It's you still have to work for it. So I would definitely agree with that.
You bet, that's for sure.
Yeah. So what are your plans for the future then, Hal? I mean, what's next? You know, I know you're doing a lot of promotion for the book and things like that and working with your clients. What's next for you?
Well, what I've recently done is I joined a national law firm to give me a broader footprint for my clients. So I'm with a firm now that's based in California, and I'm the Long Island office. 20 locations, 20 offices, and 450 lawyers. So it gives my clients the ability to operate, and if they need legal assistance in other states, I'm right there with that. So that was a big step for me. And you know what? I'm still working hard. I'm still doing the trade shows. I'm doing all the things I've done for the last 35 years.
And like you said, Hal's at all the major trade shows. People listening, thinking of franchising their concept. You go and speak to, really, I mean, a lot, you know so many people in franchise, and you go up to anybody and says, where can I speak or meet Harold Kestenbaum? And they know, I don't know exactly where you are.
All right, I'm glad to hear that. That's good for me.
So for the people listening, any kind of tips for maybe an industry in franchising that people should be a little more careful about, do more due diligence? Maybe it's saturated or it's getting to be kind of rough. You've heard some things.
Let's say that they should do their due diligence no matter what the industry is, because it's important to know what you're getting yourself into. So whether there's five franchisees or 500, you got to call as many as you can. You got to find out as much as you can about the principles, and that's, you got to do that. I mean, that's just the way it is, and you have no choice because you don't know. If you don't do that, you're not going to know what you're going to get getting yourself into.
I guess never buy a franchise if you haven't visited their corporate office or met some of them.
Well, the discovery days are very important, and franchisors take those very seriously. And you're right. That's one way to get to feel in touch who you're dealing with, because you're going to deal with these people on an ongoing basis every day.
Right.
So how can our listeners get the book? So you want to franchise your business. Can they go to your website?
They can go to my website. It's on Amazon.com. That's the major market because it was in Borders, but Borders is gone. And there's not a big inventory at Barnes & Noble, but the Internet, the Amazon.com is the best way to get it.
Okay, that's fantastic. That was an interesting story too, wasn't it, Don? I remember talking about Borders on the first segment. I think they had that partnership with, was it Seattle's Best Coffee, and with Borders, I guess, going out of business. I remember talking a little bit about that as well. That was an interesting story.
Yeah, that was a big
franchise.
Yeah.
I have so many of them, yeah. But Harold, it was great having you on the show today, and we're going to plug the book for you. And Don and I would love to have you come back in the near future.
It would be my pleasure, guys. Anytime you need me, I'm there. It was a pleasure, and I thank you for having me.
No problem.
It's our pleasure.
Harold.
Thanks
thank
so
you.
Much, Harold.
Okay.
Okay, have a
all
great
right,
day.
Guys.
Hi.
Okay.
That was a great show, huh, Don?
Yeah, it's always great
learned
to have
a lot. Yeah,
you know, a franchise veteran type person who has gone through a lot of different experiences and can really give some great advice like what he did.
Yeah, absolutely. So great show. I learned a lot. So for our listeners, go to franchiseinterviews.com, franchisefunding.net, go franchise.com, franchiseworldradio.com, and I'll be talking to you next week, Don.
Great. Take care.
Have a great day. Thanks, everyone, for listening.